Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the College Football Cheat Sheet is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way to make you smile at rsandrews.com. We're going to bring in Barrett Slee here in just a moment. We're going to talk about the schedule flip, and he is good to go right now. So, Barrett, good morning. We welcome you on the WadeFort.com hotline. How you living?
I'm good, guys. What's going on?
Well, a lot. Boeheim, Zion, schedule flips. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Barrett, it's great to have you here. So here's my take. I think the Bulldogs are victims of SEC politics. I think Greg Sankey forced this down their throat. I think Dog fans should boo the hell out of Greg Sankey at every opportunity they get. And the thing that doesn't sit well with me is not just the schedule flip, but the fact that Sankey didn't, like, say to Auburn, all right, we're going to hook you up here, but you got to give Georgia their home game back. Where are you with all this?
Well, giving them their home game back makes zero sense. There's absolutely no way that can happen until 2025, because if you give Auburn their home game back in the fair way, which would be, keep Auburn's schedule at four home, four and away, then you screw up the entire scheduling matrix, which lasts through 2024. Now, you could sit there and say, okay, well, Auburn, you only get three SEC home games and have to play five one season, but it's not Auburn's fault that they got two straight home games against Georgia. That's because of expansion. So how can you punish Auburn by switching the schedule around once for something that they had nothing to do with? Now I understand that Georgia was in the same situation in 12 and 13, but, again, that was because of expansion, not because of something like this. As far as Greg Sankey and how this was pushed, I think that the Georgia administration understood that this is something that needs to be fixed. It's not just something that's an Auburn problem. It's something that it's a problem too. And this is, I think, a deal between two really powerful teams. It does alleviate some pressure for Georgia as well. Now moving Tennessee back, you can say, okay, hey, look, the home Tennessee Georgia Tech at the end of Georgia's schedule is still tough, but it's not as tough as going, with Auburn and Georgia Tech back-to-back, even though Georgia Tech has been traditionally weak. So it does help Georgia a little bit, but I think in the greater scheme of things, it's not necessarily something that the SEC is pushing down Georgia's throat. This is the first step of something that the SEC is going to change league-wide, because now you'll have an SEC East meeting between Georgia and Tennessee in mid-November. And I think you're going to see the SEC really make a push to make the SEC East race last as long as possible, because that's the biggest problem. Georgia played an SEC West team in mid-November in Auburn, then a cupcake, and then an out-of-conference game. Well, four SEC East teams play out-of-conference games at the end of the regular season. And so basically the SEC is seceding a division race, for the final month of the season. More times than not. So I think you're going to see a lot more of this. You're going to see a mandate that you're going to play SEC games the week before rivalry weekend. You're going to play a lot of division games backloaded so you can keep division races interesting through the month of November, because, like I said, the SEC is basically giving up attention nationally to the SEC East every single year. And that's just not fair, especially when you have teams like Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, potentially, in that mix. They should be viewed nationally in the frame of a division title race. And right now that never happens.
Barrett, with that being said, will the SEC mandate the change to Cupcake Weekend in November? Will they make them do that earlier in the year where you can get these backloaded SEC East games?
I think they will. That's a little bit trickier because you already set in stone without a conference teams, already set. The SEC can buy those out. Obviously, they have plenty of money. So I do think that will be one of the next goals, and I think it'll be a hot topic in Destin the week after Memorial Day during spring meetings, because, you know, like I said, you know, the SEC is by and large, you know, giving up its conference title races in November, and that's stupid. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And so that, I think, is the larger sort of viewpoint here. Yeah, Georgia, you know, it doesn't make a ton of sense for them to be, you know, giving up and maybe, you know, letting Auburn dictate this whole schedule switch. But I do think it's part of a, you know, bigger plan. I think everybody in terms of administration is on board with, not just Auburn, not just Georgia, but the entire SEC. And that's why I think it was pretty easy for Georgia to say, okay, hey, look, this is fine with us, because we understand that the end game here is much bigger and much more important to the conference overall.
Barrett Salee of CBS Sports is on the WadeFort.com hotline. We always enjoy talking with Barrett, even if we disagree. Barrett, let me go back to what you were saying about the home game that Georgia did not get back. Of course, back-to-back road games for Georgia at Auburn in 2012 and 2013. I'm just curious as to the history of this, because you know the inner workings of this politics. So Georgia was, due to expansion with Texas A&M and Missouri, Georgia was forced to go to Auburn in back-to-back years. Why wasn't Auburn forced to go to Georgia in back-to-back years?
Because that's just not the way the matrix worked out. The way scheduling is extremely hard. I mean, I've talked to Mark Womack, who is in charge of scheduling at the SEC office, and it is one of the most painstaking endeavors that any administrator or any conference official can go about doing. So when Missouri and Texas A&M were added, you had to fit them in to the current scheduling format that, you know, has cross division rivals, that has games, you know, sort of set aside for specific weekends like Auburn, Georgia, like, you know, the cocktail party, you know, things like that. And you had to sort of weave in every aspect of it. And I think there was another game that had one of those situations where it went home for a team. So it was just a byproduct of how the matrix worked out. It was pretty much impossible to do it any other way. And before there was expansion announced, this is back in what, 2010 or 2011, whenever it was, everybody was on board, you know, knowing that there are going to be some teams that get screwed. There are going to be teams that benefit. But if this is going to benefit the entire SEC, you're going to have to make those concessions. And, you know, everybody was on board. So it's just one of those things. In fact, you know, talking to Mark Womack about it, this is 4 or 5 years ago, you know, he said the scheduling matrix, which was built out through 2024, which was a 10-year deal starting in 2014, that took like 4 or 5 months to develop. Mm-hmm. So it's just a hard process. That everybody knew what was coming when they were going after Missouri and Texas A&M, and Georgia got the short end of the stick. And it was under the assumption and under the agreement that, you know, it is what it is. And if you're going to change it for Auburn and for Georgia, then, you know, that's different down the road, because it would just be out of desire for those specific schools, not the conference overall.
We got Barrett Salee with us on the WadeFort.com hotline. Barrett, I want to go back to Justin Fields. Gets the transfer waiver to Ohio State. And if I remember your tweet correctly, you said Tate Martell should not get the same transfer portal exemption and get a chance to play. Where do you stand on that now? Should he get a waiver, or is the NCAA going down a very slippery slope if they allow him to play immediately?
Well, it's definitely a slippery slope. And look, it's not my personal opinion. I think there's two conversations when it comes to this. It's what the rules as stated right now allow and what the rules should be. Personally, I think in terms of a coaching change in situations like that, players should have more flexibility. I'm 100% on board with that happening. That said, that's not the rule right now. You know, the rule has nothing in it about coaching changes. It does have language in it about documented mitigating circumstances, and there's a whole bunch of other things. So Tate Martell claiming a coaching change, and our Dennis Dodd reported that he is going to claim Urban Meyer's suspension and the switch in day as a reason he should get his waiver. Well, he shouldn't get his waiver, because that's not part of the rule right now. Justin Fields at least had some wiggle room, even though we all know both of these guys are transferring for playing time, obviously. If the NCAA gives one to Tate Martell, then it's basically signaling, okay, the rule as stated has to change. And that means you probably will have more flexibility with coaching changes. And that's, that's tough to deal with. Look, I used to be on board with full-on free agency. But think about what full-on free agency actually would mean. It would mean teams would more or less go on pseudo-probation. You know, Penn State had 13 guys in the transfer portal this year. More than what USC got docked for their probation, for their sanctions. And furthermore, on top of that, it would separate the haves from the have-nots, because teams like Alabama and Clemson and whoever lose players for playing time, but they've got studs there, are taking those spots anyway. A team that is changing schemes, changing systems, changing coaches are more likely to lose good players, which means it's going to be more difficult for them to get good down the road. So, it would create further separation between the haves and have-nots. It would be almost impossible for coaches to manage their rosters. And look, I always say, hey, look, these problems, logistically, administratively, are coaches' problems. They make the big money. Go figure it out. But there has to be a limit to go figure it out. And figuring out how to manage a roster if players can go wherever just simply isn't feasible. And look at some of the other leagues, right? Major League Baseball, you have the service time deal for young players. NFL, you have 4 and 5, obviously, for the option for first and second round draft picks or whatever. NBA, you have control. The teams have control. And as much as NCAA, folks in Indianapolis don't like to hear it, this still is sort of an employer-employee relationship. So you can't just let everybody go wherever, because then you would have total chaos. And like I said, the have-nots would have a really, really tough time even being competitive.
Hey, Barrett, very limited on time here. Yes or no answer. Has Zion Williamson played his final game at Duke?
No. It's ridiculous that people are even talking about that today.
Ridiculous at all. I think it's a very valid debate.
Well, no, here's the thing, Rick. Zion Williamson chose to go to Duke. He could go play overseas. Zion Williamson chose to play the first 3 months of the season. Zion Williamson is the only person that makes this decision, and there's a lot to be said for people, and almost every athlete feels this way. You want to win championships. You want to be there for your teammates. You want to leave a legacy. Zion Williamson has said and acted that way really since he became a number one recruit. So why now, because he blew out a shoe, is this even a discussion? If this was such a big deal, why weren't we talking about it when he signed with Duke? Because then was more important than now.
Barrett,
then
it's a discussion because he's injured. It's a discussion because he's injured.
Rick.
He's got a mild knee sprain.
He could be injured whenever
he wanted.
He could be injured for the last 7 months, and nobody was talking about it because they didn't care.
Because he wasn't injured, Barrett.
But he could have been injured at any point. It's not like the risk just suddenly appeared last night.
He's got about a month-long injury to deal with here. The tournament is a month away. That's why we're having the debate. Thank you.
But, well, Rick, he played
for three months for Duke,
and those guys care for him. He cares for them. They want to win a championship. Not all about individuals.
That's fine. That's fluff and puppy dogs and candies and nuts. It's not fluff and puppy dogs. Yes, it is.
Want to win championships.
Come on in here, John. We got to go.
Win championships.
Barrett, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
See ya. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly.